From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, we welcome you to this hour of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on great radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, sitting in for Todd today. I'm coming to you from Iowa's home for the Todd Starnes Show, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the Midwest with accurate news and reasonable views, and it's my privilege to be here for Todd today. No, he has not been taken off to the re-education and deprogramming camps. As we discussed in the first hour, that would be a waste of their time anyway. He is taking care of the eye issues that he's talked to you about on the program. All is well. He'll be back soon, and with an even clearer vision, literally and figuratively, of the Joe Biden administration. 844-747-8868 is the number to call. Same as always, Grace will be there to answer the call, and we'll get you on the air very soon. 844-747-8868 is the number. That's the number that Alan from North Carolina used. And you know, Alan, the Republican Party succeeded the Whigs, and it was founded in my state of Iowa in 1854, and you say we need a new Republican Party. Tell me about that, please.
Well, now that we have, now that Trump's out of the White House, I think we've removed that splinter that's been festering in Nancy Pelosi's toe. But I don't know that she and Mitch McConnell are going to be able to work together still. Maybe now is the time to start for a new party. I don't know what you call it, the Tea Party Republicans, the new Republicans, but maybe it's time we start over. And how can we do that without new leadership?
Well, you're right. The new leadership would come from people who say, I am declaring my departure from the Republican Party because the Republican Party is full of rhinos and I want to strike it out on my own. The problem, of course, is, and I don't disagree at all, I mean, I've said very consistently that the Republicans in Congress abandoned the president who helped get them reelected, and it's pretty weak on their part. And the way that they're acting now just shows that they're Republicans in name only, obviously. But here's the problem. The system is set up, it's rigged against any third-party effort, because Republicans and Democrats up and down the line have done their best to make sure that the rules are set up for campaigns and ballots, etc., to favor them as the only two parties. Ask any libertarian how hard it is to get any attention. So what would you, Alan, as you're sitting there in North Carolina, what would you like to see someone or some group of people do or say that would lead you to line up behind them?
Well, it could stay the Republican Party, but maybe it's time to kind of burn it to the ground and start over. They've done a lot of that to themselves.
Okay, so start over again and just say, okay, you people have failed us, in essence, and it's time to start over. Who would you trust to do that? Well,
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, not Mitch McConnell, because he's pretty clearly indicated that he appreciates all the support in getting reelected, and he's comfy for another 6 years. And so all he's trying to do is make an arrangement with Chuck Schumer so he still gets a nice parking place. Okay, so who is it, and forgive me for stepping on you as you were talking a moment ago, who would you trust to lead this effort? Who would you trust?
We would have to look to newly elected congressmen and senators. They would have to pick up the mantle and carry it forward. But that means that people like Mitch has got to be willing to step aside and let them lead, maybe coach them. But you have to wonder who was advising Mitch McConnell when he signed that bill. knowing that we had that election that was so very important in Georgia, and we signed a bill with $25 billion in foreign spending when people here are losing everything. You signed a bill with $600 for suffering Americans when it's three times that for illegals. Who is advising these people?
I can tell you that there, here's the party line on that. And you've heard it, but I've heard it from my senators, where they're told, because of how messed up the appropriations process is, they are given a bill and it's up or down. There's no amendments. There's no time to read it. And if you don't hurry and waive all the time frames and the rules, we're going to shut the government down. And so they're put in the position of voting in favor of a bad, pork-filled bill. And the only pork I want to see is laying next to my eggs for breakfast. Thank you very much. Pork-filled bill. You got to ram this through. You got to vote for it or else we're shutting the government down. And they fall in line. And so the process is so badly broken that it's, you know, I'd like to see some people just stand up and say, you know what? I don't care. We got to start saying no sometime. Would you support that if they would have said, go ahead, shut the government down. Go ahead, don't send COVID relief to people because we need to make a statement. Would you have supported that?
I don't know that I would have supported that version, mm-hmm. but for the first time in months, Nancy Pelosi told Mitch McConnell, I'm ready to do business. She says, I'm ready to sign a $2,000 COVID relief right now. And then he says, no. We're going to do 600 instead. How do you argue with that? Mm-hmm. How do you tell the American people when you're getting ready to ask them to show up and vote in Georgia? I know you're suffering. I know you're losing everything, but we don't think that you deserve $2,000 right now. We're just going to cut it back to 600. I know Nancy Pelosi wants to give you 2,000, but no, we think you need less money because it's the responsible thing to do. I don't understand what he was thinking, and I don't think his judgment is going to be any better going forward. I think their relationship is too damaged between he and Schumer and Pelosi. I think it's too damaged. But
well,
he's got to be willing to step aside.
Sure. Well, they got snookered, didn't they? They got fooled. They got played.
Well,
and you can't have those kinds of people there, right? Sure.
When the bill first came over, Trump said, no way, I'm not signing it, which is exactly what he should have done. But then Mitch McConnell called him and talked mm-hmm. him into it. Said, we promise you, pinky promise, you sign the bill, we're going to bump it up to $2,000. Then they send it back over, and he's like, well, Pelosi's ready to do business, but we want to add two or three things to the COVID. No, that's not what she wanted to do. Why for once? Couldn't he get along with her just long enough to get this money to people? And then maybe we could have pulled out Georgia.
It wouldn't have taken much. It wouldn't have taken that much. You're exactly right. That's it. You're exactly right. Hey, Alan, how are you listening in North Carolina? Are you listening online or on the radio?
On the radio, 107.1. My radio never changes.
Attaboy. That's great. Hey, thanks for calling in and having the conversation. I appreciate it, and you have a good day. 844-747-8868 is the number. That is the number that Brad is using to call us from North Little Rock, listening to the great KARN there. Brad, thanks for calling the Todd Starn Show. This is Jeff Stein. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Jeff. Great to hear a refreshing voice amongst the smog of the Democratic Party that we're involved in to start 2021. You know, it's the party of manipulation and the party of fear. They've manipulated everybody against each other, and then they send the prodigal son, Joe Biden, out with his glorious, I'm not Chris Wallace, that ridiculous unity speech that he gave that he didn't even write. I'm sure he probably took it from the lyrics of a Lady Gaga song somewhere. But, you know, I just got to thinking about your call just then. Trump knew what he was doing before the Christmas break when he issued the $2,000 check. He stuck it to McConnell and the rest of the Rhino Republicans.
Right.
I hate that he did that, and to a degree, because I think the power shifted. But you know, I think he knew what he was doing when he said, "No, we need $2,000 checks," because he knew that they would balk on it.
Well, he also knew what it was going to take to win in Georgia, did he not?
Exactly.
And he knew that it, you know,
he did.
This is the thing that people who have hated Mr. Trump, who hated President number 45, this is what they don't understand. He has a gut feeling about regular old people like you and me. Despite his life of privilege, despite everything else, you know, he can wear a suit that probably costs more than I make in a year. All right, that's fine. But he knew in his heart and in his gut how people felt. And if that meant he was changing his mind occasionally, it's because, well, you know, our mood was changing. And nobody will accept that maybe he really was the smartest man in the room in so many different ways.
Yes, sir. And, you know, the thing about Trump is, and the gentleman from Texas, I can't remember, senator or congressman that stood up with that impassioned speech in support of Trump, I would put him behind a new movement. I think the party that needs to be formed or revamped in the Republican side, the conservative side, the only issue that I ever had with Trump was there were times that I thought he needed to be more humble in his approach to the people. Mm-hmm. I know he's a businessman. He's a very wonderful person. I don't think that there anything that the Democrats have painted him is accurate and true about him. But
right.
I do think that there were tendencies and times that he even kind of turned me away from him in certain aspects because of his diplomacy, I guess it would be the term to use. I think that when you do hold that type of office, there has to be, you know, some humility shown at times, and I don't think Trump did that all the time. But of course, he was being attacked a lot as well.
Well, absolutely.
You know,
now,
I did think there were some times that Trump, I was like, oh, come on, Trump, don't do that to me.
Don't do that. Just stop.
It wasn't just you, Brad.
It was a lot of us. I'm going to be late for this commercial break, and I want you to make sure you have time to tell me. You called in wanting to talk about how the Democrats could show that they are for all the people. Give me the quick answer of how that can be done. What do you think?
Drop the impeachment. Let's do COVID relief. Let's look at immigration and other bills and set the impeachment on the side. And I hate to get off topic on you there. I was listening to your other caller.
But you're fine.
Drop the impeachment, and it shows the American people that you're not out here to get rid of a president that's already gone. You're trying to block him out of 2024. If you want unity, drop your impeachment and work on policies that help the American people and do it that way. That's bottom line to me.
No, and you were not off track. I just enjoy the conversation, and I didn't want us to not get to your main point, which I agree with 100%. For what it's worth, Brad. Thanks so much for calling in from North Little Rock. I'll talk a little more about that when we come back in a moment. 844-747-8868 is the number. Love to talk to you and find out what you think. 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Phone number is 844-747-8868. That is the number that Paula used to call us from North Carolina. She's listening to the Todd Starn Show on the talk station. Paula, I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for calling. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. So you have some thoughts about the Republican Party. Let me hear them.
Well, it's just to give a different perspective. I used to be a correctional worker, and from the very first day we step foot in the prison for training, we have to go through a two-week training before we even get before inmates. And we're taught from the very first day that these inmates will do everything they can to compromise staff. So you have to always be aware. And it's not just inside the prison. It's also out in the environment or in the home. In the community, they'll use their family members to set people up. So as far as the Republican Party, I think what's really important, I love our policies as far as what we stand for. I think very early on, our leaders go in very naive, and very quickly they are compromised, and they put themselves in a position where they have to go along where they're going to be exposed. So I think very early on, whoever's going to run for office, whether at our local, state, or federal level, they have to be taught from the very first day, don't trust anyone, but be aware that people are going to try to compromise you in any way they can do. It could be through drugs. It could be through an affair. It could be something so simple that we might take, that we might do, and not consider the ramifications. And before long, we're caught up in something that we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to be exposed. I think that's what Washington, D.C. represents now, whether you're the Democrat or Republican Party. I think these individuals, not all of them, but some people go in with the best intentions, and before long, they're caught up into something that they can't control anymore, and they're sucked in. So as far as dumping the Republican Party, I don't believe that. I just think with the new leadership, we have to be smart to go in and be prepared that we've got enemies inside and outside, and they want to do everything they can to bring us down or compromise us. So we have to go along with whatever the plan is. And we have to be wise, too. This isn't just about Americans or lawmakers. These are bad actors inside and out that are trying to take over our country.
This is such refreshing insight, Paul. I'm so glad you're sharing it. One of my resume items, I don't know, I'm a lawyer. I practiced law for a number of years, both with the Attorney General's office, but also as a criminal defense attorney. And so everything you're saying about what you need to be told going into the corrections system, that's absolutely 100% accurate. And so I want to ask you, based upon what you just said about some of our leaders, there was a letter signed by, I don't know, a dozen freshman Republican members of the U.S. House, something like that, right? They sent a letter to the new president yesterday, pledging to work with him for the betterment of the country. Is that a good move for them, or is it naive?
From where I stand, I think there's so many, you know, it's like a chess game. They're looking at 100 different things that I am not even aware of. The optics, you know, what we see versus what they see, it's night and day. I have no clue. I think there's a lot of things they do for show to the American people to make them seem like they're fighting for us, but we're all voter blocks. So the one thing we don't know is the motive of the heart. We don't know what is the motive behind these leaders. Do they just want power? Do they like the prestige? Or do they really want to serve the people? So I think as at the grassroots, at our local state, we just have to be smart and kind of be prepared. And I'm not really...
No, I think and we're up against a hard break, Paula, so I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I understand what you're saying, and you're exactly right. You have to be vigilant. I'd love for them for their optimism to win out. I really hope. We pray for them. Oh, but wait, they may not be able to pray in session. We'll tell you about that in a moment here on the Todd Starnes Show. And we welcome you back to the Todd Starnes radio program. 844-747-8868 is the number to call. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today, and so glad that you've made this part of your day, either listening to your favorite radio station or online at toddstarnes.com. Joining us now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is Jeremy Dyes of the First Liberty Institute. They are online at firstliberty.org. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Regular listeners to the program are aware of the organization, but for those who are just tuning in or need a refresher, remind us, First Liberty is what and does what?
First Liberty Institute is a nationwide religious liberty law firm. All we do is defend religious liberty for all Americans, whether that's in our houses of worship, within our schools, our military, or in the public square. We are trying to restore the vision for the free exercise of religion and religious liberty for all Americans that our founding fathers laid out for us so many years ago. I'd encourage folks to go to firstliberty.org to learn a lot more about what we do and how we do it.
I made a somewhat flip comment going into the break before you came on, saying that we need to pray for our public officials. Oh, wait, they're putting the brakes on praying before sessions. And that really is the issue that you're talking about, that you've been highlighting with regard to New Jersey. Give us the information as to what's at stake here.
Yeah, look, it's remarkable to me that this continues to be an issue. And I don't think there's a month that goes by, sometimes not even a week that goes by, that I see another story about lawmakers wondering whether they're permitted to pray before public meetings. And let me just put the end of the story up front. Yes, you
sure
are allowed to pray before public meetings. That's consistent with our history. It's consistent with the traditions that we have in our country. We've been praying before public meetings since really before we were even a country. And as one court put it, you know, if the guys who drafted the First Amendment didn't seem to have a problem with a chaplain praying before the first Congress, I don't know why we should either here. But this is what we're facing this week. I sent a letter actually to three separate city councils in New Jersey, I think one of which actually has a practice. The other two are kind of wondering whether or not they should. And the point was just to say, look, you're welcome to have a prayer before public meetings. This has been before the Supreme Court not just once but twice, specifically on this issue of legislative invocations, and then a couple other times giving a little bit further color to that issue. And so the law is really, really clear here. If you are a city council, a county commission, even a school board, you have the freedom to be able to pray before public meetings. We can talk more about maybe how you go about doing that, but I want to make sure your listeners know that their local government officials can pray before public meetings. If they choose to say amen and a woman at the end, well, that's on them, but they're at least allowed to pray before public meetings.
Well, and once again, I can recall going back some 30 years ago, and there was a dust-up about prayer in the public schools, and a Democrat, thank you very much, a Democrat lawmaker from my state of Iowa, U.S. Congressman, said there will always be prayer in the public schools as long as there are math tests, which is true, because, again, it was not forced on you. You got the little blue book or the questions, and you probably said a prayer if you were like many people. What do you think you're up against? What is it that people don't understand to where you have to deal with this issue however many times a week or a month?
Well, we've heard the drum beat for so long of this so-called separation of church and state that people have actually begun to believe that it exists. Well, it doesn't, so we can kind of dispense with that idea right there. But the other side of it is just that we've gotten so sensitive to religion in public. We view any type of religion in the public square as having this kind of pandemic quality, that if you allow religion into the public square, we might all catch it. And if we catch it, we might actually never recover from it. And so we need to ban it and sequester it and keep it inside of people's homes, or maybe even better, inside their minds, and maybe not even there. That may not be permissible either. And so there's this really terrible thing that's gone on throughout the country of trying to, you know, get rid of religion, and in fact to say that religion is actually bad, and those who practice it are the ones who are actually engaging in some sort of active discrimination against other lifestyles and other people. This is just simply fundamentally unfair and untrue. Religion is a good thing, and more than that, the free exercise of religion, whatever it is that you choose to practice as a part of your faith, this has been enshrined as a human right within the United States Constitution, and even the United Nations in its Declaration on the Child has recognized that religion is a public and human right that ought to be respected by governments around the world. And so we need to get away from this understanding that it is some sort of this bad thing to now believing that the free exercise of it is actually a very good thing for us in our country. It is the very first of our freedoms, and it's the first of our freedoms for a reason. Because if dictators have some sort of competition, well, then they can't dictate. And that's why we allow the people, recognize, I should say, the people's right to have the free exercise of religion.
Jeremy Dyes is special counsel with the First Liberty Institute. They are online at firstliberty.org. He's joining us on the Todd Starnes program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. So I'm looking at a copy of a letter that you sent to the mayor of Elmwood Park, New Jersey, this week on the topic, just basically laying out everything you did here. Talk about, if you would, remind us what the challenge was and what response you've gotten to some of these letters. This wasn't the only one you had to deal with.
Yeah. No, we actually sent three to towns right in that area because I happened upon a news story where a journalist, as journalists seem want to do these days, was kind of making an issue out of nothing, that wondering whether or not this was permissible and bringing in various faiths about it all and lawyers weighing in here and there that really haven't studied this issue apparently closely enough. And my point was just to speak to each one of the mayors to say, look, just let me cut through all the clutter here and put right in front of you the cases you need to know. The Supreme Court decided in 1983, Marsh versus Chambers, where the Nebraska legislature hired a legislative chaplain to lead the prayers, and the Supreme Court said that's perfectly fine and consistent with the Constitution. Then in 2014, the Supreme Court of the United States again said that you could have volunteers from the local community come in and pray. And so long as their prayers are serving the function of, you know, setting the tone for the fractious business of governing, that's perfectly acceptable in our country and shouldn't be a problem at all. The Supreme Court just said in 2018 with, or I'm sorry, 2019 with the American Legion versus the American Humanist Association that religious symbology, religious language, practices that are kind of long-standing in our nation's history, and this would be one of them, that's perfectly consistent with our government. And more than that, it actually bears a presumption of constitutionality. And then there was other courts at the Sixth Circuit, for instance, the court right below the Supreme Court, governing kind of the Ohio-Michigan area of our country. They went on to say, look, even the lawmakers themselves could provide these prayers. You don't have to have a chaplain or you don't have to have a volunteer. You could have the city councilman could be the ones doing that. And so we know, and it is abundantly clear, that you could have these prayers going on all over the country. And it reflects the religious faith of the person who's actually providing those prayers. And so if you pray in Jesus' name, the court says, you can pray in Jesus' name in front of your city council. So here's what I would encourage your listeners to do. If you're active in your local community, and I really hope you are, if you're active in your local community, I'd encourage you to go to your city council or your county commission or maybe even your school board and just have a polite conversation with them to say, look, this is a very precious thing that our country has done for, you know, more than two centuries now of recognizing a higher authority and allowing our minds to settle down a little bit before we engage in this kind of back and forth of government that we have to engage in during these council meetings. Would you allow me to say a prayer before this public meeting for you, for the benefit of you, the lawmakers? Or would you rather do it yourselves? That's fine, too. Or perhaps we could find money in the tax dollars to pay a local chaplain to do it. Those are all acceptable options if the lawmakers themselves would like to do that. And frankly, if they receive any pushback on that, I am more than happy to come and defend them, and when we do, we'll do it for free.
There's something that, as you're talking, and we're speaking with Jeremy Dyes of the First Liberty Institute on the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd today. Okay, so I am a lawyer. I have defended First Amendment cases, free speech cases, journalism access cases, and often in a case of an open meeting, there will be somebody who tries to close the meeting, and then it gets closed illegally, and it's right there in the law of how to do it correctly. But they tend to not do it correctly because they figure no one's going to say anything, no one's going to speak up. And so I'll hear from journalists who say, well, why is it that these people always do these things? Well, there's no risk of them being caught. They get away with it. Is it somewhat similar here where you got a city council and they're trying to be good, dedicated public servants? Somebody complains about a prayer, so they figure, oh, well, you know, we don't want to ask anybody. Heaven forbid we ask legal counsel to get the good information. Let's just shut it down, and we hope nobody says anything. Is that part of it, or is there something on the part of the public officials that is more nefarious that I'm missing?
No, I think it may be a little bit of both. But my guess is that this fear of a lawsuit drives these silly decisions because, you know, they may get a letter from some activist organization that's got a vested interest in ridding the public square of any kind of religious symbols or language or speech. And so fearing a lawsuit, even though that probably will never come, they'll just simply end the practice. It's kind of like I call it I'll take my ball and go home rule, right? They kind of control the whole game and they kind of walk off in a huff and say, fine, we're done. Look, it just doesn't need to be done. And here's reality. Maybe we just need to be more charitable here and think that our lawmakers simply just don't know. That's actually okay. We can inform that. And so maybe what your best benefit can be, listeners of the Todd Starnes Show, is to provide your city councilmen, your county commissioners, with our name. Give them our website, firstliberty.org. They can call us there. They can email us there. We'd be happy to look at their policies and give them the straight information. You know, if they're doing it wrong, I'll tell them that too. But if they don't know what to do, we can put them on solid legal footing so that if they do receive that lawsuit, or the threat of it anyway, they'll be much more equipped to be able to respond to it. And God forbid they receive a lawsuit, well, then they've got legal counsel and First Liberty Institute, and they don't even have to pay us. We're going to do it because we wanted to preserve and defend these fundamental principles that have made our nation great for 200-plus years.
And what's really great is anyone listening right now can just go online to firstliberty.org, receive all manner of information. There's resources. You can find out about current things that are going on that you really need to know about, and it's very simple. It's firstliberty.org. Jeremy, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been my privilege to talk with you, and the best of luck as you move forward on this ongoing, very important work, especially these new ones in New Jersey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jeremy Dice of the First Liberty Institute online, firstliberty.org. 844-747-8868 is the phone number, and that's how you can connect with me. We've got another segment left. I'd love to hear what you have to say. The radio program I do in Iowa, I interview people, which is great, but I don't get to talk to real live human beings. Okay, senators are human beings some of the time, but I don't get to talk with regular listeners, and so this is a real treat for me. So please do call 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. No, he's not been taken to a re-education camp. Everything is fine, and you are listening to the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
And we welcome you back to the Todd Starnes radio program. One more segment on this Thursday. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, coming to you from the heart of Iowa. And Iowa's home to the Todd Starnes Show, my home station, News Talk 1540 KXEL. Ken is calling in. He's listening to the program on KARN, News Radio 102.9 KARN in Arkansas. Ken, you think it's time to kind of stand up for some things, right? Give me an idea of what you have in mind, sir.
Well, it's like I was telling Grace, in war, you find out the weaknesses and strength of your enemy and you exploit it, and you go above. And I don't see this ever getting back. I'm sick of all the conservative talk shows because that's all I listen to anymore. Mm-hmm. No news, not even Newsmax anymore. And everybody, well, let's just stay the course. Let's ride through this little bump in the road. And no, this is only going to get worse. And until you start getting a backbone, Republican Party, which will never happen, this is not going to get any better. Until you start playing at their level and above, this won't get any better. 1 minute before Joey took office, I took my American flag, and it's upside down now. And it will stay upside down. Until somebody, and I don't want to hear from Republicans. I don't want to hear the same old McConnell. You spineless. Tom Cotton from Arkansas. You're spineless. All of them. But until you start, until if they shoot one of yours, you kill 10 of theirs. And until you start getting that under your belt and that way you're thinking, this is never going to get any better.
Well, here's one of the things that occurred to me as we were looking toward this presidential election and the shenanigans that were being done. It seems to me that Republicans are too darn polite. Now, I'm not talking about doing any violence. Don't anybody get the wrong idea. But Republicans go into the election and just presume that Democrats are going to play fair. And then they stand on the sidelines and just say, well, I trusted them. I can't understand, because the mindset is we're going to play fair so everyone else will. That's really stupid, isn't it, Ken?
That's my point in a nutshell.
Yeah. And, yes, sir.
I ain't in for violence and what have you, but well, if you bring it to my door, it's going to happen. It happened to me in on a grocery shopping trip just because I had a Trump mask on. So yeah,
really.
But, oh, yeah.
Well, what happened? So somebody came up to you in the grocery store. You're just minding your own business, filling your shopping buggy, or what?
No, the two-weekend hired cashier that was checking me out was being rude, and I politely told him, because I had a Trump mask on, mm-hmm. they were African-American, and they were being rude, and I just asked them to do their job, and when they didn't, I said, "Wait," and they were being rude by that time. Oh, I got called Cracker and White Boy, and I said, "I'll be outside that door in about 5, as soon as you check me out." And they said, "Well, why?" And they met me out the door.
Oh, my goodness.
I deck that young person. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, you got to take care of yourself. You got to defend what's right, Ken. Thanks for calling in. And thanks for listening to KARN, that great station there in Little Rock on the FM dial. Well, I have to tell you, it is such a privilege for me to be sitting here talking to Starnes Nation every day. I am so grateful. Todd has such a great team there at the Mighty 990 in Memphis, including Claire and Grace and Avery, and they're just so helpful for somebody like me who's sitting here not used to doing it. So hopefully that's worked out well for you all. I want to share something in our last minute or so. You get emails. When you're working in radio and radio news, you get emails from various organizations, and I happen to be on the mailing list for the Biden transition team, of all things. And that's fine. So I'm getting all of these emails, and they have pool reporters. That is, not everybody who wants to cover something can, and so they rely upon a very limited number of people who then share their reporting with everybody else. Okay, that's what a pool is, a limited number of people that may follow a president, et cetera, and then they share the information, and then the reporters take turns. So this came last night at 9:04 p.m. The reporter is the senior vice president for the, senior White House correspondent for HuffPost. And this has to do with what was going on at the Lincoln Memorial. This is what it reads. The president began speaking at 20:53, the time, in the space directly in front of the Lincoln statue and finished at 20:56. However, your pooler's location combined with the echoey acoustics made it impossible to make out anything beyond sentence fragments. Your pooler believes the president spoke about America. And that is the coverage of the Biden administration you're going to get for 4 years, my friends. I think I'm supposed to be here tomorrow. I hope you are as well. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks, everyone, for being along. You're listening to the Todd Starnes Show.